don't let us roll yet.
But
so what do you think about that?
I like that Krampus mask, dude. That is dope. Where'd you get that?
Dude, the other day I got it at Kroger's 90% off.
Nice.
For $1.
An actual Krampus mask?
Dude, it's a devil mask for Halloween, but, you know, it's close enough.
Yeah, it is. That looks pretty familiar to me.
It's good stuff. Right on, right on. So how was the trip into town?
Trip into town wasn't too horrible. Dealt with things as usual, and it was one of those, like, Amy's like, why are we leaving so early? I'm like, trust me, there is a beautiful window of Houston traffic on the west side of town. But boy, howdy, if you leave past 1 o'clock in the afternoon from Austin, you ain't catching it.
Right.
You ain't hitting that window, man. Like, you'll be stuck.
All right. I think we got all of our stuff together here. Let me turn to the right page. And here we are. Welcome to episode 8 of the Scary Dad Podcast, everybody. I am your host, Billy Stewart. Your normal co-host, Scott Fontenot, couldn't be here tonight, because he's got other things going on. So I traded Scott for this evening alone for a near and dear friend of mine, Mr. Chris Jordan of the Dudes and Beer Podcast.
How you doing, my friend?
What's going on? Thanks for coming out.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
So, as we speak, we're recording episode 8. Episode 8 drops on... That's not how you drink beer, man.
It didn't.
Episode having 8 drops on December 5th. So, it being December 5th, we've got a couple of things going for us. The main thing about December 5th, Chris, do you want to say the word?
Yes, it is Krampusnacht.
Oh,
Krampusnacht.
Yeah.
The night of Krampus. Gruß von Krampus.
It is awesome. So we're going to be talking about all things Krampus this evening.
Heck yeah.
First, we're going to do a little week in review, you know, kind of like what Scott and I normally do. Just talk about what's been going on. So how was your week?
Seen dude,
any good scary movies?
Week was awesome. You know, the most recent scary movie that I saw was actually just before Halloween, actually, just before your party. And it was the remake of Amityville Horror.
Okay.
With Ryan Reynolds. Really well done. I was pretty impressed with it. I mean, they went with the whole, like, Ring-style ghost and stuff like that and kind of brought in a little different aspect. But I thought he did a bang-up job going crazy, dude. He nailed the crazy bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm kind of ambivalent about Ryan Reynolds. I either really like him or I really don't.
Same here.
He kind of, you know, like certain actors are typecast in one thing or another. Ryan Reynolds basically made his name as Van Wilder, and mm-hmm. he's played the same character ever since.
Yeah, yeah.
Even in serious roles, he's still got that cynical, you know, way about him.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, Deadpool is good, but Deadpool is a cynical, smarter-than-you character. I've seen him in some other stuff, like rom-coms and whatnot. I'm just kind of like, eh. You're not getting that hot girl. You're kind of a dish.
Yeah.
A douche. Sorry. We don't edit out of here. So, yeah. Well, actually,
I mean, other than that, the one that Amy and I have really been watching, my wife, Amy, is Preacher.
Okay.
Oh, my God, dude. It is so well done.
Awesome.
So incredibly well done. Like, it's really gritty.
I read the first several, I'm going to say maybe 5 or 10 issues of the mm-hmm. graphic novel back in the 90s when it came out. And it was certainly not very family friendly.
No.
not at all.
Boy, it is twisted, man. It is twisted. That's all I can say.
Y'all recording already?
We are recording.
Hi.
This is my lovely wife, Bride of Scary Dad, coming out to join us for our little pre-roll here. We're just kind of talking about some of the stuff that we've recently done, some movies we've seen.
Other than that was Doctor Strange. the other day.
How was Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange was really, really well done. And I'm not one that's really given to the 3D format, but it is a movie that is really best watched in that format.
I can imagine. Most of the images of Doctor Strange are very much him in the background with his hand forward and some kind of magical thing coming at
you. Yeah, some kind of pentacle coming out of his hand, something like that. But it was, it was really, really well done. I was very happy with it.
So Bumbersnatch did a good job?
Yeah.
He looks just like him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's...
Yeah, he did a bang up job. He really delivered. He really did.
Awesome.
I was very happy.
The previews look good. I know I sound a little cynical, but that's just
Well,
the length of the day coming.
We're always.
Bye, babe. Are you gonna come back later?
We're always gonna be cynical about these movies. We got to witness the first go round of a lot of them. We grew up with the Captain America TV movie. We grew up with the Spider-Man movie, that were horrible back in the day, where you could see the rope that was hoisting Spider-Man, stuff like that.
Right.
We did get to see the first, and that was something that we recently talked about. I wish we would have had you on. Was the rebirth of the vampire film in the 90s?
I listened to your episode actually today.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought just driving around listening to stuff. Yeah. You're like. One of your guys was like, "Oh, Preacher, was that Stephen King?" I'm like, "No, that's Garth Ennis." What is wrong with you people? You're like,
we're talking about
90s horror movies or vampire movies, and somebody's like, "Lost Boys," and y'all are all like, consensus, "Yeah, that's a good one." Dude, that was like, that's nowhere near the 90s.
Yeah, it was near the 90s,
and then it was a decade before. But
yeah.
That sounded like one I wanted to be on.
Yeah.
had a good time listening.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, I did introduce him as Chris from Dudes and Beer, but my friend Chris here runs a little podcast out of Austin, Texas called Dudes and Beer. And he and his friends get together and they talk about literally everything and anything, and sometimes everything from moment to moment.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of guys drinking beer in a studio room having a good time. I'm one of the dudes of Dudes and Beer.
You
whenever
are.
I'm not in my role as Scary Dad. So it is a lot of fun. We get together and we throw down a lot of beer and we spit out a lot of information.
Just talking.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if you haven't yet, if Scary Dad gets boring sometimes and, it's too short. I know it's too short. We're trying to build it out to where it's longer.
It gets there. It takes some time.
Our way. But this is kind of a crossover to the Dudes and Beer. And one of the things that the Dudes and Beer do often and awesomely,
thank you,
is that they bring in a libation of the evening, a celebrated brew.
Yeah.
And so in respect to that, and given the nature of our little show here, I brought in Pale Horse Ale out of Katy, Texas.
Heck yeah, right out of No Label, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
I believe it is No Label.
It is No Label Brewing.
And, this beer could be good or not good, but the bottle looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're drinking tonight.
It is tasty. It's nice and light, crisp. It's not extraordinarily hoppy.
And we're doing something a little different in that we're actually recording outside.
Yeah.
Trying to give you guys the ambiance, so you might hear some wind chimes. It is Krampusnacht. It is December 5th.
That's right.
It could may or may not be December 5th when we're recording this. Because of Scary Dad's awesome powers,
that's right,
you might be listening to this before we even record it, as far as I know.
Transmogrifying time and space.
The internet being what it is and everything, but we've got a nice fire roaring in the chimney. We got some cold air blowing.
Heck yeah.
It actually is a little chilly, which is odd.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for chilly. I'm in short sleeves.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm ready for it, but it's like, wow. It's
I got out of the car in Katy earlier, and I was like, man, I totally forgot my friggin' zip-up sitting by the front door, so I had to run into Walmart and buy one. I was
nice.
Like, I'm gonna be outside and at a wedding tomorrow. Last thing I need is to get a little sick before the wedding.
You get a little sickly, go home to your wife and be like, hey, babe.
Yeah, exactly. So, Krampusnacht. Number one,
we're not quite there yet, bro. What we did, Scotty and I did in our last couple episodes, is we added this little thing called the history segment.
Okay.
And it's very interesting because our podcast drops on Mondays. This is a Monday. And to look in history, realizing that on this day, at some point in the past or future, if you're one of those kind, something important happened.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been looking at this stuff, and very often something relating, either something relating to the horror genre or something truly horrific actually happened on this date in history. It's not that hard. Go hit up Wikipedia and it'll tell you. So I was doing pre-show prep, you know.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to do a podcast because our podcast drops on Monday.
Yeah.
And I knew it was Krampusnacht, and we're going to have an episode dedicated to that. But did you know, my friend, on this date, in 1484, check this out. Pope Innocent VIII issues the Summus Desiderantis Effectuis, a papal bull, which is a charter that deputizes Heinrich Kramer and Jakob Sprenger as inquisitors to root out alleged witchcraft in Germany. Kramer wrote the Malleus Maleficarum in 1487, which describes witchcraft and endorses detailed processes for the extermination of witches. He alone established the period of witch trials in the early modern period.
Yep.
So, since you are of the red-headed persuasion and born without a soul and known to consort with the devil himself...
I have one soul for every freckle on me.
How do you feel about that? Take it away, Chris.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that was one of the things as we get into the episode that I was going to talk about a little bit is the whole dualistic nature behind it. And to me, the witch craze that happened, the things that happened in the 1400s, not many people realize that before the witch trials of the 1600s, which were on the tail end of things, really, whenever you think about it, the ones that happened here in America were literally just a stone in the pond. Like, they were just a ripple. You know, there were all of, like, maybe 20 people killed in America due to witchcraft, something like that. Most of them right up on Gallows Hill. And were done by pressing in the Massachusetts area, some outside of there. But, to go back to and know that there was 200 years of persecution before that, that there was 200 years of that woman looks funny. That woman is a loner. She doesn't spend a lot of time in the community. You know, a lot of the times they were older women, hags, as they put them.
Right.
You know, unmarried women, widows. Stuff like that. And it's really strange that comes right up along the cusp of this.
It's interesting because we were actually talking about this when I guested on your last podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I mean, we got way deep into it, and we're not going to go that deep into it is, you know, for fear of sounding as if I was some sort of witch hunter sympathizer or witch hunt sympathizer, I wasn't. Yeah. But there is a cause and effect, and the reality is that back in those days, people really, really, really did believe in witches.
Oh, yeah.
As real as locusts or toads or hail damaging crops. And those people lived in a time where a lost crop meant death.
Yeah.
Maybe not death to them personally, but death to somebody in their village and lots of them. And if witchcraft, which was just as real to them as cancer is to us, you know, if they suspected one of their members of being a witch, the reaction was legitimate. In our high-minded, you know,
backward-looking
thought process, we think of it as barbaric, and it was. And I'm not making apologies for that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, hindsight's
20/20. Given the times and the understanding.
Given the prism of history, you know, the fear was real.
Yeah.
And the reaction, although severe, was not unexpected if you thought that the kid thing was going to steal your children and run.
Yeah. You know? If you thought that it was going to steal your child in the middle of the night, you know, something like that. Absolutely. And, you know, that it really ties directly together with what we're talking about tonight.
Right.
Because it is from this old concept that Krumpeschnacht comes about, that those things happen.
Right.
So
there's a duality.
Yeah.
Which we will get into shortly.
Yep.
Here's another cool thing that happened on December 5th.
What you got?
Do you want to go chronologically, or do you want to go of level of impact?
Chronologically.
Chronologically, thank you for being here, my friend, host of Dudes and Beer Podcast. I brought you out one of these because on this date, 1933, Prohibition
ended. Struck down, that's right.
Utah being the last state to ratify the repeal of Prohibition. Salud.
Salud.
And finally, in 1945, Flight 19, which was actually five different airplanes, and the search plane dispatched to look for the missing five bombers, went missing in the Bermuda Triangle. December 5th on Krampusnacht, there's all kinds of stuff. We're halfway through the episode already, and we haven't even made it through the history
segment. I know, right? You wanted content, my friend.
Right, well, halfway through the episode is, what we're doing here, guys, Scott and I are working on building out the podcast. You know, we had to reach out and we had to make sure that we could, we had a lot of things in common, and he and I could talk a lot, but did we sound good on a microphone?
Mm.
We both have faces made for radio.
I can appreciate that.
And both of us are quite busy guys. So we've been getting together. We've been recording an episode on the fly when we could, just talking about stuff that interests us. And, you know, the actual response has been pretty good. So
good deal.
I think we're going to keep on doing this.
Let me see that open.
But now we're about to get into the meat of the episode.
The meat and taters.
Which is this thing, this half-goat, half-demon, named Krampus.
Yes.
Krampus. Chris, what's up with that?
Well, like we were saying earlier, it's the nature of duality. And it was really the Zoroastrians that first brought about the concept of good and evil. You know, before then, God was always really both. He was not either or. And that was really the first time that we had that concept. Now, Krampus comes directly out of the Germanic history of St. Nicholas, which, of course, is where we get the concept of Santa Claus. St. Nicholas, you know, went around delivering candy, toys, and things like that to poor children in his village. Krampus was basically St. Nicholas's helper in this endeavor.
In our Christmas tradition, Santa Claus knows the good kids from the bad.
Yeah.
And for all practical purposes, he rewards the good kids and he ignores the bad ones. In ancient traditions, and I don't want to say ancient because it's not antiquity, it's only a few hundred years old. In the Alpine tradition, there's a giver and there's a punisher.
Yeah.
And Krampus is the punisher.
Yes.
So and you don't get away with just nothing for being bad. You get whipped.
Well, and it's interesting because one of the things that we talked about in the episode that you were on last with Dudes and Beer was a lot of the fairy tales that came around during those, not necessarily during the Dark Ages, but shortly after. In Bavarian tradition, especially, you know, whenever you look at Hansel and Gretel, whenever you look at stories like Cinderella, you know, it's so glamorized by Disney, but if you go and watch the play, the musical Into the Woods, goes into it in much greater original detail, where at the end of it, Cinderella's evil stepsisters are actually blinded by her bird friends.
Right.
You know, where like they actually cut their toes off trying to fit into the glass slipper. They're so desperate to be the princess.
Well, there wasn't up until just recently there was never really any safe space.
Yeah.
I mean, you built a castle maybe.
Yeah.
But even then things lurked in the dungeons. So,
well, yeah, and I mean, you know, with it, like we were saying, with the good comes the bad, and really, Krampus was created, at least in this article that I was reading earlier by National Geographic. They were quoted as saying, Krampus was created as a counterpart to the kindly Saint Nicholas, who rewarded children with sweets. In contrast, Krampus would swat wicked children and take them away to his lair, where he would then torture them until they were good. So it was literally...
It was a give and take.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you found out that Krampus had come to visit you because you would get, instead of candy in your shoes that you would leave by your fireplace or your door, you would end up with coal or rods in there.
Willow, right.
Not willow, but birch. Birch rods. And, yeah, you know, it was interesting because one of the things that they mentioned in this article, and I had to bring it up, let's see, where was it? Right here, Krampus, whose name is derived from the German word Krampen, meaning claw, is said to be the son of Hel in Norse mythology. The legendary beast also shares characteristics with Ares, other scary demonic creatures in Greek mythology, such as Saturns and Fauns. But whenever you go to pantheon.org and look up Hel, Hel is the ruler of Helheim, the realm of the dead.
Correct.
She's the youngest child of the evil god Loki and the giantess Angrabda. So, you know, it's interesting how this Bavarian tradition actually is stemmed from a Norse tradition.
It's not that funny.
Well, yeah, well, I mean that's where they came from.
Well, of course, but no, I've read quite a bit of I've read quite a bit about Vikings and and the Norse, and you know, essentially, I mean with.
This beer just wants to run over, no label.
You just can't drink beer tonight.
I'm not even, like, setting it down hard. I'm being very gentle.
But, no, so much of our, I guess, for lack of a better word, like, modern Judeo-Christian lens of things comes from, obviously, Christian scribes from back in the day.
Yep.
And we talked about it on the last podcast that I was on, is that the Christian, not necessarily the Christians, but the Christian peoples who came into the north or were invaded by Vikings, but there was oppression on both sides.
Yeah.
But the thing was that the Vikings were so thoroughly bloodthirsty, and they had horse rituals.
Yeah.
That even to this day, you know, several hundred years later, there's nothing wrong with horse meat compared to goat meat or pig meat or cow meat.
No.
It's all really kind of the same. We eschew horse meat because Christianity eschews any kind of relationship with the horse other than riding it, because the Vikings were so into their horses, so to speak. Krampus looks just like our Christian model of the devil, as do things like Pan and others. Different monsters, you know, I guess at the end of the day, monsters sort of look like wild beasts of the night.
Yep.
And when you're afraid of a wild beast of the night, you give it a name and you define it.
Yeah.
And you give it a role.
Yep.
Right? So Krampus isn't the only one. I mean,
entire
northern, well, even, I couldn't find much out of Spain. I couldn't find, you know.
Well, the closest thing that you would come to would actually, and it's odd that you bring up Spain, would be Black Peter, which is more out of Western Europe, more the Dutch area, things like that. And it's actually the story of a Moor that helped Santa Claus kind of in the same way as Krampus.
If
you were bad, he did things to you, and
which is
brought you things that were not treats.
like beatings.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting though, because a lot of that history even has been obfuscated due to the fact that, you know, he's according to tradition a Moor, which would make him black. So a lot of people wear blackface, things like that, and it's kind of become more of the modern tradition that he's a chimney sweep and he's the one that comes down instead of Santa.
Right.
You know, and that's where the black comes from and everything. So it is interesting through the lens of history. And you know, why now? Like, why in 2015 was there a Krampus movie? There was really an interesting kind of, like we were saying with the vampire, there was suddenly a resurgence in Krampus in modern day society.
We'll get there momentarily.
Sure.
Because I have the same questions.
Yeah.
But we're still on the we're still 400 years ago.
Sure.
We're not here.
Oh
yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
And I noticed that the wind picked up as soon as you started to fast forward, man. So you need to watch yourself.
Sorry about that.
Tonight is Krampus night, and even though we are in East Texas and not Northern Europe,
he'll still make it, dude.
He'll still come over here and whoop
he'll
your
still,
ass.
He'll still come with the rods in hand.
You got a state of this script.
Rods in his soul sack.
All right.
Now, what? Because a few years ago, and I didn't bring it with me. It upsets me. I left it sitting on my kitchen counter. But I was gonna bring my Scary Dad original, my Krampus Nacht. Wood burning that you made for me.
Right.
And it was, you know, you and I are both fans of history. We're both fans of lore. What was it that first brought Krampus to your attention?
Honestly, running the Scary Dad website and looking for spooky stuff at Christmas time.
Right.
And it's one of those things. I was kind of giving you the behind the microphone motions,
yeah, yeah.
Not, you know, to stay
hold
on.
Hold up, hold up, wait for me, yeah.
But because what I've got written down, and it kind of ties back to the history segment, is that, you know, the in the 50s, anthropologists described Krampus as the horned god of the witches.
Yes.
And we just spoke about the movie The Witch.
Yeah.
Wherein, without giving too much away, the witches had a horned god.
Yeah.
And you know, and of course that's in America, but that tradition followed that culture over here. The Native Americans, you know, obviously were not Christians before the Christians came over here
it really started with Sir Nunos. Long before that.
Well, of course.
With the Germanic tribes and everything else.
Well, I mean, you can follow it back.
Yeah.
You can follow culture all the way back through from Germanics. Because, I mean, the Germanics,
yep,
being what they are, go back.
Yeah.
The Germans were the ones who took down the Romans.
Yeah.
When the Romans couldn't hold their society together for being decadent and, you know, pluralistic, basically.
Yeah.
The Germans finally knocked on the door and told them, we're tired of your crap. The Germans, in and around Germany, and for anybody who's listening, we're not talking about the Nazis. We're talking about the people that
the
were
Germanic
basically,
tribes.
The people who populated Europe in a giant circle all around from Rome all the way north,
because
all the way around.
They were yet a Germanic people. They were still a gathering of tribes, much like Ireland was at the time,
correct,
much like Scotland was at the time.
Russia is named after a Viking named Rus.
Mm.
So all of this stuff gets mixed up because it's very difficult to track culture wars whenever people keep going left, right, and back and forth. But these folk tales, these legends and myths stay the same, and they're even the same kind of pre-Christian.
Yeah.
Some Christians have a way of burying their enemies, and others have a way of saying, okay, well, we'll just rename that guy
mm-hmm.
and call him something else.
Yeah, we'll just use the celebration of the cult of Mithra and say, hey, Christmas.
Right. So, but St. Nicholas himself became popular around the 11th century.
Yep.
But Krampus has been around since pre-Christian Alpine days. He's an equinox or a solstice devil. And he's got not sidekicks, but he's got contemporaries.
Yep.
Because there's the Belschnickel.
Yep.
The Belschnickel, unlike Krampus, who is kind of like a goat-horned... he looks like Pan from Greek mythology. Belschnickel is an old, dirty, and disheveled man with a long beard. More resembles kind of a homeless Santa Claus.
Yep.
And he carries a switch to punish the bad kids, but he also brings cakes and candies for good children.
Yeah. So and see, he's serving both sides.
He does it both. He does both things.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the Western tradition of Santa Claus now. You're either going to get a lump of coal or you're going to get the present
right.
that you asked for.
So Belschnickel's kind of more to our modern, and he still doesn't just beat children because we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But, but then you've also got a Germanic goddess named Prechta or Berchta or
mm-hmm.
Bertha. And, you know, the further you go back, things get a little more violent.
Yep.
Good children got silver coins. If you were bad, she would slit their bellies open, remove the stomach and the guts, and stuff the hole with straw and pebbles.
Yep.
And that's what you get. Merry Christmas and Happy New
Year. That's it, yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the solstice. Well, so, and you know, it's interesting because we...
The thing is, there are these traditions that are celebrated. I mean, we're on Krampus night now. There are people on the other side of the world right now dressed as Krampus, drinking in the street and celebrating.
Well, and those are fairly new.
They are.
That version of Krampusnacht. And it's odd because for a long time, celebrations like that, and the celebration of Krampus was actually kind of stamped down by the church because it was a devilistic influence. It was something that was in that realm. But I think a lot of it comes down to, like we were saying earlier, it's the dualistic nature. It's the fact that there's, even if you look at comic books, there's always the dualistic nature of the hero.
Right. There's the hero, the anti-hero.
Yeah.
What would Superman do if he became, if he was just
Well, even the heroes have issues, you know, like, good God, Tony Stark's a drunk.
Right.
You know? And that's what I don't get with modern day society, because people are like, oh my God, this guy's like a superstar, and why is he doing this? Because he's a human. That's why.
Well, absolutely.
You know, like, he's a scarred, horrible human being like the rest of us. Did you think because he made millions he was any better or different than you? No, come on. Like, this, like, go and read any comic book. All of our comic book heroes have some sort of major flaw, either character or spirituality-wise, that holds them back constantly. And that's kind of, I think, one of the driving forces behind Krampus, is the idea that we are to strive to be something better. We are to strive to not want to be visited by Krampus. You know? Because the last thing we need on Christmas Eve, or not on Christmas Eve, actually, December 5th, which is Sinter night, when Sinterklaas comes and stuff, last thing we need is to be carried off in a soul sack and be tortured in a cage. But, you know, yeah, it's like we were saying with witches earlier, when you're looking at a tribal people, when you're looking at, you know, let's even take the Ten Commandments with the wandering of the Jews. Those are some very common sense rules that are laid down for living in very close quarters with people.
Right.
You know, like, we live in a very protected society just about anywhere in the world over now, unless you live somewhere tribal where you're literally living right next to your neighbor. If not sharing the same plow field with your neighbor, you know, and it's one of those, hey, we all share a common meal in the tribe,
right?
You know, And yeah, like you were saying, there was genuine concern because there's this issue of something is different, something is not right, and they're carried over from that point, even the concept of sins of the father,
right?
Which it goes into a lot of the Catholic baptism, things like that, and that's what a lot of people don't realize is that there was that concept of if your baby's sick, what did you do?
Of course.
You know, what did you do wrong to make God angry to make your baby sick?
Of course.
You know, and that was the first thing that was looked at. You know, and hey, yeah, sometimes that ended up being spectral evidence, and that was absolutely means by which to accuse somebody of witchery. You know, their what should be perfectly natural, healthy baby got pertussis, you know, or something like that. Something that is utterly curable by all means now, but at the time,
well, of course.
You know.
And like you were saying, it's funny because you and I used to have these discussions about the concept of like literalists versus metaphoricalists.
Yeah.
And I was always on the side of the literalists, and it wasn't because that I necessarily believed that if this happened, then this.
Yeah.
It was more like you said, there was a tribal society.
Yeah.
You know, pigs are unclean. You're like, okay, well, the fact is,
without proper treatment, pork will make you sick rapidly.
And if they get worms or something, yep. Even like not even just trichinosis, just being around them can kill
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, exactly. And if you're trying to maintain a sane and healthy society, it doesn't help to have a whole lot of political factions, a whole lot of gods, a whole lot of anything else. You don't try to take your neighbor's stuff. You don't try to screw his wife.
Yeah.
You don't try to raise up gods above your neighbor's gods and try to tell them that your god is better than theirs, and they're like, oh, what am I going to do? And
yeah.
you start fracturing society around it. Which kind of, you know, I don't want to go too esoteric, but, you know, we always go that way.
We do.
But I think that's kind of what brings us to Krampus and why he's so popular now is because we live in a fractured society.
We live absolutely in a fractured society.
There's those of us who can laugh at a concept like Krampus, understand why the people who believed in him, understand it, empathize, and celebrate. There's other people who use a figure of Krampus to throw it directly in the face of people who still believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I'm using Santa Claus as a euphemism for all the things.
Yeah. For everything that is that holiday.
Right.
With you.
And, you know, luckily, for me anyway, because I run a horror website, I can laugh at both sides of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people who are really thoroughly offended and frightened by things like Krampus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, bringing it into the modern aspect, you know, like, it. At the same time that I wrote my piece of music, Krampusnacht, a few years ago, was when the resurgence happened, and it was so weird because I'd written this piece and then suddenly, like, Krampus was everywhere.
Right.
And it was like, what the... Like, I remember Krampus from my semester in Rome, you know, because I went right as Christmas was ending and stuff like that, and hearing about it from people over there in Eastern Europe, all that kind of stuff.
Which was when?
That was in 95. That was in 95, okay. Spring of 95. So, and, it, you know, it was just, to me, it was fascinating. It was interesting because some of my favorite artwork was the stuff with Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict is the patron saint of exorcists.
Nice.
The whole order is based on that. And the artwork at Sacro Specchio in Italy, where Saint Benedict actually lived, he decided to ostracize himself from the world and physically live in a hole. Where people would drop food down to him daily and water and things like that just so he could commune with God. And it was said that Benedict was tortured, that he saw devils everywhere. And that's one of the reasons why he is the patron saint of exorcists, because he had such a close connection to that side and could deal with it and cast out demons. But some of the artwork around there is very interesting because you literally see little blue devils that look very Krampus-like everywhere, like standing behind pillars, like peeking out, you know, like crouching in trees. And it was literally this concept that he had where he saw the devil everywhere. And, you know, I think really the whole concept of Krampus is the idea, the whole concept of Santa Claus seeing you and knowing whether you're good or bad, knowing whether you're asleep or not, really comes into that aspect of Saint Benedict and the devils that followed him, the devils that he saw everywhere. And it is the aspect, like you were saying, that we've kind of lost a lot of that in our modern day society, even in our modern day aspect of Christmas.
Right.
How many people go out and adopt a family at Christmas? You know, things like that. How many people actually make the holiday what it's about instead of just like piles of gifts for kids that they really ain't gonna use half the time? You know, and we're just as guilty of it as the kids are just as guilty of it. You know.
Well, the kids are innocent. I mean, not their fault.
Yeah.
But I hear exactly what you're saying, and you know, I think we all have that moment. Like I said, and you know, Krampus comes after the bad guys. He's not.
Yeah.
And so, if you've got any kind of fear in your heart that Krampus might visit you, even metaphorically, like if you put a Krampus out on the table and a Santa Claus and kind of wonder which one's going to show up,
yeah.
If you think the Krampus might visit you, it's about time for you to start living better.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know it's been odd the last few years because people have started putting these things up. They've started really getting into it. They've started, putting up, much like you do at Halloween.
Right.
You know, they've started putting up, like, Krampus displays and stuff like that. And it's caused all kinds of hubbub with HOAs around the country, you know, things like that.
Well, it's an anti-
And let's get into that a little bit, because is it an anti? Because technically, it's part of the original story.
It is part of the original story, and I agree with you.
Doesn't agree with the Coca-Cola red and white Santa Claus that we have, but it definitely goes along with the concept of Saint Nicholas.
It does, and I, you know, as Scary Dad, I don't want to come off as sounding like I'm not defending Mr. Krampus, because he and I are walking together tonight.
That's
once
right.
Chris leaves, I'm gonna ride along with him and beat up on some kids.
That's it.
I'm joking, but, you know, not really.
I'll carry the soul sack.
But like we said before, there are those who would, it kind of harkens back to Halloween. Halloween, its very name is All Hallows' Eve. It is the night before All Saints' Day.
Yep.
It is the evening before a celebration of the saints. Which I'm not a Catholic, so you know this. So I'm not gonna try to explain what that means.
But what I mean is, you just explained it.
celebrating all of the devils that can fly around on the night before the day of the saints is not really the point of the Saints' Day.
Yeah.
Celebrating the adversary as your celebration is not really the point of celebrating the champion, as it were. I'm not saying that Santa Claus is the champion, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's the guy who gives toys to good children, and here's the guy who eats and beats bad children.
Yeah.
So instead, I'm going to just throw out this beat children monster on my front yard and hope and pray. Well, not pray, but just kind of hope and not even really hope, but just kind of throw a middle finger to my neighbors who aren't trying to scare their children. That is not nice.
No, no, it's definitely not. It's definitely not. Not in our sense. But we do have to wonder, like, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm someone who's interested in tradition, wants to know about tradition. If I saw something like that, I would want to know what it's all about. Like, I would go ask the person at the house. Because for all you know, sure, they are, you know, of
Alpine Germans.
Alpine German descent. You know,
they're pre-Christian Alpine Germans.
Yeah. Could be. Maybe they've gone to Ancestry.com and that's
living in an HOA in Texas.
That's you know, that's what they identify as. But I don't know. I see good things coming from stuff like Krumpus. You know, I guess. When taken in moderation, you know, like I was saying about the story of Saint Benedict, the fact that the artwork there at Sacro Specco, his church, shows like devils around every corner. That's kind of the aspect that Judeo-Christianism understands, and that's really where the whole Christmas tradition comes from, of course. And that's what it all revolves around. So it's kind of hard not to put that aspect on it, and not to cast that on it, because that's definitely what it's about.
Right.
You know, there aren't a lot of straight Jewish people that celebrate Christmas.
Gay Jewish people do, though.
Yeah.
I had to catch you on that one.
Yeah. So it's you know, what. What do we do about the bad? What do we do to counterbalance it? Because we aren't all good.
Well, of course not. And believe me, I'm not suggesting for a second. Like, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
I know, right?
What is that?
Yeah, dude, you got the friggin' Trooper premium British beer up over here. The Iron Maiden
6666.
Heck yeah.
I am not one who is squeamish at all.
Yeah.
About those sorts of things at all.
No.
And I love and celebrate them. I think it's a travesty that so much pagan culture was destroyed.
Absolutely. I firmly agree with that.
Funny enough, Julius Caesar, who himself was a pagan, destroyed so much Celtic and Druidic culture.
Well, that's because he was scared as shit of them.
Because, yeah, they were scary and you know, which means, you know.
He was scared as hell of the Druids.
But, you know, it's crazy whenever your culture is so thoroughly effed up.
Yeah.
Which we're not.
They sacrifice people.
There's a lot of people that got sacrificed. I was going to say, like, we are
not necessarily in Roman culture, podcast, though, is what I'm saying.
So I can say that when Julius Caesar shows up at your doorstep and he's like, man, you're too fucked up to live.
Yeah.
And so is your entire culture.
Yeah.
This was pre-Christian.
Yeah.
They definitely
put some people to the lions and used them as entertainment for the masses.
Who, the Romans?
Most definitely.
Oh, no, of course the Romans did. I'm saying that the Romans, who were in no possible way Christian, because Christ didn't even live before Julius Caesar, was long dead.
Yeah.
Because Augustus was Caesar's...
Anyway.
And Christ died under Augustus' rule, which means Caesar couldn't have possibly met any Christians on planet Earth. He came across those Northern European Celts and was like, this is scary.
And these dudes are freaky.
And this must end.
And that's not to say...
And they were so bad that the legends, like, they don't even have records.
Yeah.
Of them, but the legends have survived 1,000 years.
Yeah.
2,000 years.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting because I'm trying to remember...
How screwed up do you have to be to be a tribe? Like, we're not even talking cities. We're not talking, like, global thought process here.
Yeah.
We're talking probably several hundred people, maybe a few hundred to maybe a couple thousand over the course of several months, maybe a couple of years, how messed up do those people have to be that Julius Caesar wiped out your culture?
Yeah.
But it was also so frightening that we're still talking about it now.
Yeah.
And even the bones they dig up, they can find traces of either Roman or Christian interference because, like, oh my God, do not look at this.
Yeah.
It's so messed up.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting because there was some high magic practiced by the Romans, by the Etruscans and stuff like that. They used haruspicy, which was the reading of entrails and stuff like that. Why are you ding-dinging in the middle of the show? You going off.
I'm turning this shit off. I don't want to be ding-dinging.
Ding-dingy. Billy's important, folks.
No, I'm really not.
But haruspicy was the practice of reading entrails. And, you know, it was, of course, practiced by the Romans. But, like, the stories, like you said, that came out of the Druids were beyond what they did to animals in order to foretell the future. And that's why it was like, whoa, like, we don't even do shit like this. You know, like, even our high priests don't go this far, man. Like, this is some crazy, whacked out stuff. And, yeah, it begat them slowly destroying all of the Druid ruins and all kinds of stuff.
And all of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was a mass. Mass getting rid of people for the sake of prosperity of the Roman Empire.
And yet, birthed out of the ashes of these ancient Celtic peoples, who themselves would probably be aghast at the sort of shit we mess with. They'd look at our technology and be like, the gods do not approve.
Yeah, right?
We are aghast at this.
Yeah.
We shall go wear sackcloth and cover our heads in ashes.
Yeah.
But that's a biblical reference for all of our non-biblical knowing friends. It means bad shit's happening.
Yeah.
If you're wearing sackcloth and covering your head in ashes,
it means your city's done something horrifying. Yeah. Or you've done something horrifying, one of the two.
If you ever wake up in the belly of a whale, you know you did some bad shit.
You better be hoping you're going somewhere. Well, and, you know, like I said, it to me, Krampus truly represents that dualistic nature. It represents the dualism of good versus evil that we all have inside of us. It represents the dualism of religion itself. And the fact that there is good and evil, there is the propensity for it. The interesting fact is that he's there to make people good. He's there to make you want to be good. And, you know, it's, I don't know. To me, like I said, I guess I can see the point in it. I can utterly respect the tradition of Krampus because...
So have you seen the Krampus movie?
I have not, and I almost watched it before I came. I did not have time to watch it today. I wanted to sit down and do that this morning.
See, Scott has seen it, and he's got opinions on it. I don't know what those are because we were saving it for this episode. He didn't show up. Shout out to Scott.
What's up, Scott Fontenot?
A toast
L'chaim.
to our friends who are not here.
That's right,
Scott. But
pour a little out for you.
I went to sit down last night to watch it. Amazon did not have a rent option.
Yeah, it was buy only.
It was buy only, and it was like $12. And I was like, even on SD, I'm not gonna spend $12 on.
Man, that's why I'm glad I have a computer connected to my TV, because I just go to YouTube and watch that jazz.
There's probably that. I could have done that, but what I ended up doing instead was watching something else.
Yeah, what'd you watch?
I watched this movie called A Christmas Horror Story.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Better than Silent Night, Deadly Night?
Yeah, different, completely different sort of thing. Excuse me.
Don't die now. Drink your Krampus schnapps.
I'm trying to. That's what made me cough.
Right?
I think Krampus is mad. No, dude. A Christmas Horror Story. So I went to go try to watch the Krampus movie, and it was too much money. Because if I'm going to spend $10 on watching a movie...
I'm not going to spend $12 on any Vince Vaughn movie.
It better be damn good. Vince Vaughn wasn't in Krampus, I don't think.
You sure?
He might have been in some other bad Christmas movie, which is Krampus' Revenge or some shit, but... No, the movie that came out last year. I guess, because it was... I could have rented it, like, 2 weeks ago for, like, $3. But... There's this movie called A Christmas Horror Story. So I'm looking at Amazon, and there's, like, Krampus, which I can't watch, or I could watch, but I just am not into it for that much money. I'm like, my thought process was, Chris has seen Krampus, Scott's seen Krampus, I'll bring something else in.
Yeah.
Scott's not here, and you haven't seen it, so that plan failed.
Yeah.
But, you know, my reasoning was sound. But A Christmas Horror Story, dude, that thing had 4 stars on Netflix.
Yeah?
And to be fair, it deserved them. It was really kind of good.
What was the concept? What was it like?
Was it like
a Christmas version of Tales from the Dark Side? Or?
Okay, so it was sort of...
Like Creepshow-ish? Or?
No, it was all in real time. Basically what it was 4 different stories happening in real time in this one little town.
Okay.
All of the stories are unrelated to each other, except for all of the people in the stories know each other. So as an example, one of the stories involves 3 teenagers investigating the basement of the haunted basement of the school.
So it's like a Christmas version of Tales from the Hood.
It's not really funny. So like, there's 3 teenagers. There's 2 boys and a girl. The girl, friend of one of the boys, who had round out the foursome, so to speak.
Sure.
She shows up and drops off keys and a camera, and then she goes and runs and gets in a car and takes off with her family. Those are 2 stories in this movie that do not happen together. And they do not link up with each other. But, I don't want to give too much away, other than...
Yeah, no spoilers.
Was it scary? It definitely had its moments.
Okay.
They have bait and switch jump scares.
All right.
Where you're sitting there looking and being like, oh, that's the oldest trick in the... Oh, my God!
And the, oh my.
Something just happened. You're like, oh my God. I did not expect that. It was sleight of hand. They had me over there. And
nice.
Boom.
Nice.
You did it again. There was a twist ending. It was a stellar twist ending.
All right. I'm down with the twist.
The twist ending really made the movie, because the movie had its moments of, like, this is good versus this is not good. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Holy shit, really? All right, I'm mostly in, but you know what brought me completely all in?
What brought you all in?
Shatner, bro.
Yeah, the Shat showed up?
Shatner's in the movie.
All right.
All the way through.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
So, it's good, it's scary, it's got a twist at the end, it's called A Christmas Horror Story.
Alright.
Yeah.
Now, see, what, like, for me, Christmas horror movies, like I said, I love me some Silent Night, Deadly Night. That's some classic shit. But really, when it comes down to it, I'd probably say I go more with some Gremlins.
Gremlins.
You know, something along those lines.
Batman Returns.
Yeah, Batman Returns is a good one. I mean, as far as Christmas movies go, I always end up watching Die Hard.
That's not really a horror movie. I mean, it's
no, it's not a horror movie at all. It's a Christmas movie, though.
Of course,
it's in the realm of Christmas movies.
Well, we're only on December 5th. We've got a few more. Yeah. We've got a few more Mondays till Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's true. I find it really wild the fact that that's the same date that that Flight 19 went disappearing.
Yeah,
that's friggin' wild. That's some wild shit.
I told you, man. That's why I need you to be on this show tonight.
Well, and I mean, we've never really gotten into Bermuda Triangle type shit. We've never really gotten into that. And, you know, I'm a big believer in multiverse, in the concept of more than one universe touching.
Right.
Much like suds in a bathtub. You know, it's numerous things that come together to make the universe. And it's interesting to me that there are places like the Bermuda Triangle and stuff like that where these odd things just seem to happen. You know, and they've been reported by more than one person. They've been reported by pilots and navigational captains who are trained observers who, you know... No, much like me, whenever I step up to the equipment that I run on the daily, like, I know this equipment in and out. Like, when anomalies happen, I know when it's an anomaly, and I know when it's, like, a wiring issue.
Even more, excuse me.
Yeah. So, for me, you know, going into the concept of... strange things happening, anomalies happening, you know, like I've been there when strange things, when anomalous things have happened, and it's one of those, like, when it happens, you know, like I know my batteries and I know how much charge they hold. Whenever freshly charged batteries are just dead, whenever brand new batteries bought out of the box just die, those are anomalies. Strange shit happens. You know,
when you lose 5 bombers?
Yeah, when you suddenly lose an entire flight of bombers who are trained instrument flyers.
Right.
Like, these are dudes that, back in the day, they didn't have fly-by-wire technology. They barely had radar, much less radar inside of their cockpit.
Oh, no.
You know, they were still navigating, like, when bombs were dropped on Nagasaki and stuff, they were still navigating by, like, azimuth. You know, it was a straight up like like stellar telescope that you use to sight in your ship. You know, same thing that they use to find direction on a ship. You know, it's pretty wild, but the things that have happened at the Bermuda Triangle to me are
they're all Krampus's fault.
They are. They are all Krampus's fault.
Krampus is like, screw you, I'm gonna throw my tongue out there.
Yeah.
Bombers.
I'll grab my chain and bell and come along. Well, you know, I don't know. For me, it's the fact that we, even though we're a modern-day society, still live as a society of superstition. We still live as a society that believes certain things for some reason have to be a certain way or else. That living in absolutes like that is hard. And that's what things like Krampus and Santa are
clown
for.
Will eat me.
Yeah.
Very absolute. You know. Mm-hmm. Can't sleep, clown will eat me.
That's it.
Well, I think what we are going to do is we're going to go ahead and call it episode 5, Krampusnacht!
Krampusnacht.
I hope you enjoyed our little side project with Chris Jordan from Dudes and Beer Podcast.
Thanks for having me, man. It was super fun.
If you ever want to check it out, you know, go to
dudesandbeer.com.
Go to Dudes and Beer everything. They corner the market on all things Dudes and Beer. Just
yes.
Google it. You'll probably find
yes.
it.
Yes, dudesandbeer.com. You can find us on Spreaker. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. We're literally everywhere you want to be.
You might find me on there sometimes, because every now and then I'll get together with Chris and we'll talk about random shit like the Bermuda Triangle and Krampus.
Yeah, right?
The only difference between this episode and a Dudes and Beer episode is it's mine.
That's it. He owns the rights to this in perpetuity.
we miss you, Scotty. You should have come out. It would have been fun. It would also have been longer, and we need it to be longer. Guys, push the like button. Push the tweet button. Push the other button. If you don't like what happens after that, just hide us. But just come back and push those buttons every now and then.
Comment. Let them know what's going on.
We don't need you to like us that much. But little bits go a long way.
That's right.
So, anyway, that's my begging. That's my begging top to bottom. You made it through the whole episode without a whole lot of begging. Please, God, push the like button.
Like.
And that's it. Chris, thank you for showing up tonight, bro.
Anytime, my man. Anytime.
I really can't get that open. I really enjoy talking with my buddy Chris about scary things.
Hell yeah.
I found this beer called Conspiracy Theory Beer.
Oh, snap.
And, good night, everybody.
Good night.
And I think that's what we're going to drink at the next.
Heck yeah, man.